Assalamu alaikum. Hello and welcome, dear viewers, to Spotlight Middle East. I'm your host, Farah Hatwi. Negotiations between the Syrian government and the opposition reconvened on Monday as the second round of Geneva II peace talks began. Last month, the first round of talks ended inconclusively on January 31 amid sharp differences between representatives from the Syrian government and the so-called Syrian National Coalition. Although UN envoy Lakhdar Brahimi had said that some common ground had been reached and that the ice was about to be breaking, or the ice was breaking. The Syrian government blamed the failure of the talks on the foreign-backed opposition coalition, which insists on the resignation of President Bashar al-Assad and the formation of a transitional government, while Damascus strongly rejects that demand, saying that it all goes back to the Syrian nationals, who are the ones that have the right to vote for or against Bashar al-Assad. Brahimi also voiced hope that Russia and the United States would exert more or greater influence over the two sides of the Syrian coalition to bridge quite large gaps. So will the second round of Geneva II save the Syrians from the bloodshed and the crisis ongoing inside Syria? We will discuss these news and much more with General Hisham Jaber, our guest here in the studio. Hello and welcome to Spotlight Middle East, General. Of course, as usual, and we in Spotlight Middle East, we will take a look at a report that would give us more information about today's topic. We will take a look and be right back. Dear viewers, stay tuned.
The Syrian government and opposition delegates are starting a fresh round of UN brokered peace talks. The first face-to-face meetings mediated by UN Arab League envoy Lakhdar Ibrahimi took place 2 weeks ago. Talk about the failure of Geneva II still continue, and maybe the only achievement of the peace talks was having the two parties in the same room, exchanging accusations with no solid agreement. However, the UN mediator Lakhdar Ibrahimi said then the sides had reached some common ground. Hundreds of Syrians were evacuated from the old city of Homs last week as part of the three-day truce agreed on the first round of direct talks. UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Valerie Amos said she was disappointed by reports aid workers were deliberately targeted. She called it a stark reminder of the danger civilians and aid workers face each day in Syria. This came after one driver was wounded Saturday when clearly labeled trucks from the Syrian Arab Red Crescent entered the old city and came under fire. Meanwhile, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius said that France is preparing a new draft UN Security Council resolution to help speed food and medicine to those in besieged areas. Brahimi began holding separate closed-door meetings with the government and opposition delegations to try to set an agenda for the coming week. Fighting has escalated since the first round, with violence disrupting food distribution meant to ease the plight of civilians in the central city of Homs and near Damascus, amid armed groups committing massacres in an Alawite village in Hama. The Syrian opposition demands a future without President Bashar al-Assad, while the regime insists on fighting terrorism. Some political parties consider that the first round was just an introduction to a yet-to-come negotiations between the two conflicting parties, the negotiations which may lead to an agreement that will help solve the 3 years ongoing unrest in the country. Syrian Deputy Foreign Minister Faisal al-Muqdad said that the government delegation would attend the talks and demand the discussion article by article of the Geneva Communique of June 30, 2012. 10 days separate between the first and second round of the Geneva peace talks, during which aids were distributed in the old city of Homs and civilians were evacuated from the besieged city.
A Okay, General, at the beginning, if we can actually shed the light on the factors that led to the failure, and of course, speaking about the failure of Geneva II, is according to observers along the region and analysts along the region of what they've seen of the first round of Geneva II. In your opinion today, what are the factors that led to the failure of the first round of Geneva II, and based on what criteria can we actually evaluate what happened?
We can say that we are going to fail, but it seems that no advance is so far. It's a very long way. The first milestone hasn't been put yet on the long way for negotiation to achieve a political solution in Syria. But the failure of that.
You majorly agree that it's a failure up till this moment.
We can say
because according to Lakhdar Ibrahimi, the international envoy, he said that the ice was breaking. But meanwhile, others believe that nothing was breaking. Well, nothing was broken.
No, I think the ice was breaking in some respect that they are sitting together and now they are sitting face to face together and they did not agree on any point. There are no common, you know, point between them, but you know, I think they may arrive to achieve an agreement, a kind of agreement, in a humanitarian problems, like to
have
a local ceasefire, not ceasefire in Syria. Let me tell you because it's long to explain. The delegation in Geneva doesn't have any power on the land to have a ceasefire or to respect a ceasefire. The Syrian official delegation is very confident and said, let's start to have a ceasefire, knowing in advance that those who are in Geneva don't have any influence on the battlefield. Okay.
Speaking about humanitarian aid, we've seen the translation of that in Homs.
Like Homs, like what happened in Homs. And the Syrian government has really already an experience without Geneva to have kind of settlement in some places in Syria, in negotiation with the VIPs on every or you know, personal
level,
on every city, like it happened in Nabek, in Baraza, in some cities in Al-Qalamun, and negotiate in a way after surrounded those villages like in Homs, you know, for example, but in Homs it was an agreement with the United Nations. But in Baraza and other places, especially now in Al-Qalamun area, they would arrive to have kind of settlement or agreement with the personalities in every village in a way that the rebels may leave the city.
Okay.
And the citizen who has weapons, you know, may lay down their weapons and they will be under the protection.
Okay. Before speaking about the conference, General, a former member of New Zealand's parliament said that holding Geneva II conference on the crisis in Syria without the participation of Iran is a futile move. Can we say that siding Iran was one of the factors that led to the failure of Geneva II?
Of course, this is the reason. And we always said, without Iran, really, you know, to exclude Iran, it was a very big mistake. Iran has influence. Nobody can deny the role of Iran on this Syrian crisis. And also, I said the role of Turkey. And I always said, if they would arrive to have any political agreement to be done on the land, they have to give a subcontracting to two major countries, who are Turkey and Iran. And of course, they have to negotiate with other countries like Saudi Arabia, who is financing those rebels.
But what were they afraid of when siding Iran? What were they afraid of inviting it to the conference, of attending Geneva II? How would, why would that be, why would that decision be made by the UN?
Because America maybe, you know, tried to keep that card, you know, in its hand. America knows very well the role of Iran. But the question Is America willing, really, and in hurry to have a solution in Syria? The answer is no. We are not sure about it.
Do you think that there is a wide misunderstanding and misinterpretation? Of course, we're still speaking about the failure, the reasons behind the failure of Geneva II. Do you think there is a wide misunderstanding and misinterpretation of Geneva I communique? And because of that, they went into Geneva II with no vital basis to actually discuss, because there was at the beginning a dispute of the way every group or every delegation looked at the concept of Geneva I.
You are right, absolutely right. Geneva I was not a dialogue, was a monologue. They were talking to themselves. Nobody was present there. Sinan regime was there, wasn't there, and Iran was not there. They made decision, and now they come and tell everybody, you have to have Geneva I as a basis. No way. We have to start and negotiate. The Syrian regime or Syrian delegation went to Geneva to negotiate, not to deliver the power in Syria to those what's so-called opposition. Opposition, okay, opposition, but who they present those opposition? The whole other party in Syria, the answer is no. There are opposition inside Syria. There are fighters inside Syria. Most of the fighters who control the land in Syria, which is not under the control of the government, do not recognize this delegation of the opposition in Geneva. And they made it clear. Let's talk about Nusra, Daesh, for example, even the Islamic Front, which has been built up to have everybody and the pro-politician in Syria, they are not under the instruction of Al-Jarba or the coalition or the Al-Tansiq, whoever. And they made it clear, they said they don't have any any influence on the land. We are negotiating, when I say we, I mean Syrian regime is negotiating, you know, because they went to Geneva to show the whole world that we are here and we are ready to negotiate and to work for political solution. But the question is, the other party is able or capable or willing to have, you know, to give something. If you look today, for example, their spokesman, the spokesman of the opposition said something more honest. We have to say we have failed, and he is in hurry, and he said it's a waste of time, etc. What he is waiting for? Is he waiting to take the power in Syria and Geneva? I don't think it's wise. And who is behind them? This is the question. And now they are threatening, you know, to go to the Security Council. No way. Russia made it clear today. Mr. Lavrov says, if you go to the Security Council, we have the right to use.
Of course, you will discuss how will that affect, of course, the process of negotiations through a second round of Geneva II. Here, General, one point which we would like to tackle is that why would the Syrian regime actually go to a negotiation table as long as they do not believe that the people who are sitting in front of them are real representatives of all opposition factions inside Syria? What's the point of accepting to join a conference when we are, when they are confident that what the people who are speaking on the behalf of the opposition are not the real representatives? So what's the point of actually going to
Let me tell you the point. I mean, that Syrian crisis and talking about the Syrian regime and for 3 years and the whole world, it became a very important issue on the international scene. The Syrian regime, first of all, has interest to go and to show everybody that we are here and we can. Second, Syria was isolated for a long time, for 3 years almost, not recognized as a regime, as you know, and they tried several times to create another, you know, entity, let's call it,
or government
or whatever, and to say this is the legal, and they did not succeed. Syrian regime won there. Now Syrian regime, being there, is yes. recognized okay. officially uh-huh. by the whole world, by the United Nations, etc., mm-hmm. etc. Et
mm-hmm. So but accepting to actually join that by itself is something here that we're speaking
And trying to show that it's ready.
They are cooperative.
Yeah, it's open okay. to discuss any. And even, you know, on the land, the Syrian regime showed that is capable to do it. Like the, see the example of Hamas.
Okay.
And what they did, the others, you know, they couldn't offer anything except, you know, statements.
Yes, and the opposition or the delegation actually spoke about sending humanitarian aid to Hamas, and it happened. And of course, now I will speak more about that. But first, dear viewers, a short break, and we will be right back. Stay tuned. Dear viewers, welcome back. General, if you wanted to look at things from a positive perspective here, at the beginning, we've seen how both delegations agree on Geneva 1 communique, as we actually highlighted, and it was one of the conditions to go to Geneva 2. They both agree on forming at least a transitional government that is acceptable by both sides. They both accepted to fight, yes, of course, they both accepted to fight terrorism, and that was the main aspect that actually joined them together. International community is determined that they should talk and negotiate, and therefore, of course, some of us felt that there is this kind of a positive tune here if they actually focused on overcoming terrorist groups inside Syria, which they both found that's the main point here, because of course the speaking about terrorism, they did not tackle that in Geneva 1 because the opposition did not believe that there is any terrorist groups inside Syria. However, in Geneva 2, yes, they went there with their in their mind that we will have to speak about the real terrorism that is taking place over there. However, the first round of Geneva 2 did not consider that, or did not even tackle that. Why, in your opinion?
With the first round of Geneva 2, terrorism was not on the table,
yes.
a matter of discussion.
Though it was the main point,
now
they went to negotiate.
They start to feel the risk of terrorism. Don't you see a lot of change, you know, since Geneva 1 and Geneva 2?
Yes.
Second, I pretend to be expert in the terrorism. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about terrorism. Is there any definition for terrorism? Mm-hmm. So far, America did not make or accept any definition for terrorism. Why? Because America always won't be flexible about terrorism mm-hmm. if they are helping the American interest, even if they are terrorists and criminals, they consider them fighters for freedom. If they are against America and or against the interest of America, and even if they are really fighting for freedom, they will be considered terrorism. Let me tell you something now. Who are fighting in Syria? Mm-hmm. Let's say Daesh and Nusra. Nusra recently became on the list of terrorism. Mm-hmm. For example, I was talking today about Abdullah Azzam, you know, brigades or something. And who killed American citizen in 2005? Why America had to wait 7 years before
listing
to answer
it on
them
terrorist
to put
list.
Them on the boy? Because they have their own policy, and so within 7 years they could move and they could go to United States, you know, and without being considered as terrorism. Now America start to feel the danger of terrorism,
yes.
and everybody, Europe. Yes, last
and
week.
And that what encouraged them to move.
Now
to
they put the terrorism on the table. Okay, both they have to. But the question is, who are terrorists, who are not? That's the question. Islamic Front, they have a lot of very extremistic organization, and they are very close to in thinking, in the school, in the culture to Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
Are they terrorism or not? Mm-hmm. Now we have to put on the table the question of terrorism and to fight the terrorism in Syria. And America, Great Britain and France, last week they had meeting between Mr. Cameron and Mr. Hollande. The question was terrorism and how to fight terrorism. Mm-hmm. Now terrorism is on the table. It was not on Geneva 1.
Yes.
And second, the Syrian regime said we are ready to have a ceasefire first.
Yes.
Knowing in advance that the other party doesn't have the power to respect the ceasefire.
Exactly.
Second, Let's talk about humanitarian problem. The Syrian regime is ready also to help, and that's what happened in Hamas. Mm-hmm. And now they are talking, and I think